I could not resist the temptation to add one more segment to this otherwise already lengthy video, and that is this little tidbit of a story. This concept of adapting a motor which has to spin at a low rotation to a high-frequency circuit intended to rotate something at a high frequency of rotations is nothing new. KeeleyNet, or somewhere, maybe Rex Research, I can't remember where I read the story. It's around, floating around the internet. It has to do with a story, a very interesting story. Back in the day of Henry Ford and the beginning days of General Motors, General Motors had not started their new models every year yet. Not yet. Just prior to that policy of trying to come out with a new model every year to lull consumers into discarding the car they bought last year and buying a new one, or leasing for that matter, on a yearly plan. But just prior to that, they attempted a hostile takeover of the Henry Ford Motor Company. And Henry Ford shot back a letter saying, or shot back a response saying, look, you want to do that? Fine. But this is what I'm going to do then as a consequence. I'm going to send a letter to all the owners of my car, my Model T, and tell them what to do with their cow magnets, because this is before the Depression. Farmers grew their own hooch to run their cars off of. That's what the so-called gasoline engine was originally designed to run on. Not gasoline, it was designed to run on alcohol, produced by farmers on their land using all of the silage, or what do you call it, the rubbish, the plant matter, after they've harvested their corn and whatnot. They have all the stalks and leaves left over and roots, and they mash it and ferment it, create alcohol, and run all their farm equipment, all their tractors and their trucks off of it. And most people lived on the farm in those days. This was before the Depression, when everybody migrated to the city, before the Dust Bowl, and before Prohibition. And the whole point of Prohibition was to outlaw farmers from producing their own alcohol to run their non-gasoline-driven vehicles. Hello? So the gasoline industry was in on this, not just the morality tipsters, you know, the teetotalers, or whatever you call them. And, you know, Prohibition was given up because it was impossible to enforce. Well, duh, they didn't need to anymore, because everybody had moved off the farm and into the cities and had to buy gasoline, because they couldn't produce their own alcohol to run their cars off of anymore. They had no land, no farmland. So it was a very different era before the Depression and before Prohibition. And most people drove cars run on their own homegrown fuel, alcohol. And so the Model T was mostly owned by farmers, but General Motors wanted to appeal to a different type of clientele, one they could control and get to run on gasoline, you know. And so this was all part of a general move. We can't call it a conspiracy so much as a consciousness, a collective consciousness that was already starting to shift more towards a consumer throwaway society, you know, throw away the resources of the earth rather than renew them. Because you can make more money that way. You can't make much money on recycling or growing your own. You can't make any money. You just grow your own because you can't sell it. You don't have to buy it. And so no money is changing hands. So the bankers are not involved. The value of the dollar is not going to be as high because you don't have enough money, as much money flowing around in circulation to drive up the value of the dollar, because acceleration of the money, the movement of money, is called the acceleration of money, and it has to do with the value of money. So a lot of people had an interest, a vested interest. So you can call it a conspiracy, because it's a collective consciousness. Everybody thinking pretty much along the same lines, who are in positions of power, who want to make more money and want to manipulate society so that they can make more money and have more control, more power. They love to have power. So in those days, most of the owners of the Model T were farmers, and they grew their own alcohol. Okay, so they were all self-sufficient. They just needed a machine to help them do their job, right? And tootle around, take their corn to market and whatnot. So Henry Ford shot back a letter to General Motors saying, look, you want to take us over? That's fine. Go ahead. But I've already sold my Model T to a lot of happy customers. They're very happy with my car, but they don't know there's a secret to it. And this secret was, I believe it was John, what's his name? Worley? Keeley? The Keeley that is named after him. No. I can't remember the guy's name. I believe it was Keeley. Anyway, he helped design this specially designed flywheel in which it had slots on it. And I never gave this consideration before. How could it be a realistic story? But now I know how. That's why I'm adding it to this video series, segment, video log. He said to General Motors, I'm going to send them a letter and tell them what to do with their cow magnets. Now, a cow magnet is a very large pill-shaped magnet you give to the cow to swallow on occasion, because cows have a habit, like goats, to eat whatever they find. They're kind of dumb. And they eat pieces of metal that are lying around, and it accumulates in their stomach and gives them a little bit of a blockage. So to help them pass that metallic object, they're given a pill to swallow to collect all the metal and pass it out of their gut. And so a farmer would have these cow magnets on hand, and if he put them in the slots, and if they were radial slots around the perimeter of each disc, on both sides of the disc, and closely spaced, a lot more than what you see here, closely spaced, now the flywheel in the Model T, once the alcohol-driven engine can get the RPMs of this flywheel up high enough, they were going to be told by Henry Ford, this is still just a fiction, you know, he was just warning General Motors, he never did send the letter, but he was going to send the letter and say, if you get the RPM up high enough, then you can cut the engine and just ride on the flywheel, provided, you know, you don't do anything silly like try to go up a hill, a steep hill. But if you're going around on flat ground, you don't need to run the gasoline anymore, the alcohol, or anything, gasoline or alcohol. It's literally a perpetual motion machine within limits of load, within load limits. It can be a perpetual motion machine. And this is very peculiar, because what we have here is high-frequency magnetic circuit coupled to a low rotationary frequency mechanical flywheel, and they both mesh together because, right, this is what Tesla did. He created serrations that were radial. They went further in towards the center, and they were much more narrow. They were just grooves, slots that were etched in to the disc on both sides. And when you had one disc moving against the other, it doubled your frequency. You know, if you had 150,000 of these serrated grooves, serrated grooves, then if both moved, let's put it that way, if one was stationary, then it would still, you know, be whatever the movement of the other one was. But if you rotated at a certain speed, like if you had 150,000 of these serrations and you rotated it at 1,000 cycles per second, whatever that is, 60,000 RPM, then 1,000 times 150,000 becomes 150 million cycles per second that the disc is capable of achieving in terms of its electromagnetic behavior. So this is really the same concept as what has been the underpinning of my latest circuit simulation, is a high, to get the cycles up high. You know, why else would Tesla experiment with high frequency experiments? It's because you can do lots of things with high frequency that you can't do with low frequency. And it becomes very interesting when you start doing that. And so here Henry Ford did that, potentially. He had it built into the flywheel for some reason. He had it there for a safety check, I guess, for whatever reason, you know, in case the farmers had a drought, I suppose, and they couldn't grow corn anymore. How are they going to get around? Maybe he was prepared to tell them after the fact. I don't know. He never told them. And now there is there's an additional sub-story to this, and it's not a happy one, but I have to tell it. And that is that somebody figured out or found out this little episode in history a few decades later, not too many decades later, let's say it was the 40s, 1940s, and they were going to go and give a lecture demonstration with their car that they discovered this fact. They opened up, you know, a flywheel is inside a casing, and nobody bothers to open up the casing. Why bother? But they opened it up, they found these slots, and hey, it looks like cow magnets can fit in these slots. And I would imagine there was some way to fix the cow magnet in there. Maybe there were holes precast into the flywheel that you could run wire through to tie the cow magnet in place. I don't know. Who knows? But they were going to go give a lecture, and they never made it to the lecture. Their bodies were found on the side of the road. Their car was ditched there along with them, and their throats had been cut. So, you know, that's the end of that almost revival of that story. But it's still the same concept to what I'm describing. It is possible to run a motor at a high frequency of electromagnetic behavior, even though the motor itself is running at the normal RPM that we are accustomed to. And this is how it interfaces. It has precedence, even though it's a rumor. You know, we don't know if Henry Ford actually built this into his Model T flywheels. And so what happened was, since the rest of the story is that General Motors, the initial story, General Motors, of course, never did a hostile takeover, but it didn't matter. What they did was they tried a different approach. And they were very strongly competitive. They decided to come out with a new model every year. You know, change the color, change the style, but still the same underneath all of that periphery, the same car. And they were able to keep up sales very high, and they put poor Henry Ford almost out of business. You know, almost. It was a pretty sorry state that they put Henry Ford into, because he could sell. Everybody was buying General Motors cars because they were flashy, you know. Every year they came out with something different, supposedly. Fooled the public, gullible public. So they won in the end, no matter how smart Henry Ford thought he was in preventing disaster. It didn't help. You know, when evil wants to do its thing, it's not much you can do about it. But this is the concept. This is the principle involved, and it was worth telling the story because it's the same thing. It's just done a little differently. So now we have three examples. We have a rumored story of Henry Ford flywheel and cow magnets, and we have the Alexanderson generator, which Wikipedia has an article on, and we have the patent of Nikola Tesla, which is the same similar concept. High frequency cycles for a low frequency rotation mechanical disc. There you go. Now if I could find the shutoff here.